1, verses 3 to 11, page 1178. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
And this morning's gospel reading is written in Mark's gospel, chapter 3, and reading from verse 20 to verse 35 on page 1005 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting round him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do sit down. So, this is my last 9 o'clock sermon at St. Paul's. And I confess that I changed, as Glenda just found, I changed the Old Testament reading because Samuel is all about how the people want a king. And Samuel warns them, you don't want someone else to rule over you. Let the Lord rule over you. And I thought, at a time when you're choosing a new vicar, perhaps that's not the most tactful. So, I changed that to one that expressed how I feel. And I'll come back to Philippians in just a moment. But the gospel seemed appropriate. Not the bit about Beelzebub and blasphemy, but the bit about family. Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looks at those seated around him and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." I don't know how you feel about being Jesus' mother. I certainly find it very hard to relate to. But brother and sister, yes, we are Jesus' brothers and sisters, and so we are brothers and sisters together. We are family as church. And I can't remember who said this. I came across this many years ago, and I thought, what a great saying. And what this writer said was that in the Christian family, water is thicker than blood. Because the water of baptism unites us and creates a bond between us that's even thicker than the blood that binds us together as relatives. And certainly that has been our experience here over 14 years, being brothers and sisters. And on the screen, the picture that I've chosen is the water of baptism of our daughter Pippa, and how lovely it has been to see her growing up as part of this family and how much we have enjoyed this. Of course, like any family, especially such a big family, there are some people we know well and get on more closely with, and there are other people that we don't see quite as often. They're a bit more distant. But we all belong together as family. And I was reminded of this. I've been clearing out the study gradually. I've got a long way to go yet. But on my shelf is a book from 2004 from a young lady called Celia Heal, who was a Norwegian student at Kingston University and attending St. Paul's. So as I've lived in Norway and speak Norwegian, we got on very well together. And when she left me to share with the church this book. And she describes in it how she came from loving Norway and feeling a bit isolated here, but the joy of coming here and finding herself in a family. And so she has picture after picture of St. Paul's and the happy times she had here. And she said, what I met was great people. And I'm glad, I think Jane is here this morning. Jane behind, you need to look at the screen at this point, Jane, even though you're recumbent. More great people, she says. There you are. And best of all, she says, I met God at St. Paul's. And that's the thing, that we are family together, but we are family who are linked to Jesus and who know God. And that is dependent not on the vicar. The vicar can help create a climate of friendship and fellowship, of family. But actually, it's down to each one of us and the way we relate to one another and the way particularly we welcome the visitor, the newcomer, the stranger, to keep that culture of welcome and family and also a family that's focused on God. And when we do that, the writer of the Hebrews says, amazing things can happen. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Angels unawares, if you've grown up with older translations. Hebrews 13, 1 to 2. And what's special about church is that the people that become family are not necessarily people like us. They can be people very, very different from us. To be honest, at times they may not even be people we like, but we become family. And that's certainly our experience over these 14 years. So I can honestly say with Paul, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This has become our family, especially as we don't have other family in this country. And it's very hard to leave. It's very sad to leave. Last week I was preaching at Holy Trinity Richmond and sharing with them the vision that God had given me to call me to St. Richard's Ham. And I said, the question that loads of people are asking me, are you excited about going to St. Richard's? And I said to them, honestly, no. Because I'm conscious, we are conscious of how much we are leaving, how much we will miss. Friends made over 14 years, particularly the staff team who become very close and we meet together all the time and talk together. My staff meeting at St. Richard's will be me sitting in a coffee shop. That's my staff meeting. I will miss the flexibility of St. Paul's, the variety of services that we have. This is being recorded, but the way we freely break canon law and don't worry about it. I'll miss the screens. Apparently they have a screen and a projector at St. Richard's, but to use it in a service, the church warden said to me this week, ooh, that might be going a bit far at the moment. So we will see. Getting the opportunity to preach longer sermons than 10 minutes. It'll take time. Preaching to lots of people, not just 25. I will miss our house enormously. We live in a mansion, in a palace. We are so blessed and so privileged, and in this location too. And I'll miss my lovely relationship with the school next door, although there's another one to build a relationship with. But over 14 years, we've become close to people. So we had such a lovely send-off from the school on Wednesday, and I just thought I'd show you two of the cards. This one was from 3M, and here is a photograph of the church doors. And if you open up the church doors, there's Simon at the front talking to the children. It's just great. And this one of the teachers, Mr. Pitts in year one, it was apparently a graphic designer, and he did this cartoon of me, which I just think is superb. So there is so much that we will miss, but we know that God has called us, and so we have to go. And the thing is, as I look back over these 14 years, I am reminded by Paul that it's not my work. Yes, it's my work, but it's God's work. He who began a good work in you. It's been God's work all the way through. And the things that we look back on with most pleasure and most fulfillment that have been most rewarding are the things that we've seen God doing over those 14 years, the lives that we've seen changed by him. Those are the most exciting. So I think just a few weeks ago to Pentecost here in church with Fiona and Heather and then Dale joining in, anointing you as you queued up to be blessed and to receive more of God's Holy Spirit. Things like that are wonderful memories that will stay with us. It sounds like I'm starting at a funeral now. memories that not even death will take away, no. Alpha courses. I was, again, clearing out a drawer in the study, and there are all the alpha sheets, the feedback forms that people fill at the end. It's just so wonderful to see people's experiences of encountering God, both in alpha and in church alpha. That's been immensely encouraging and rewarding. I think of the Bible school. And how week after week people turned up to hear serious theology expounded and discuss it together, and how rewarding and fulfilling that was. And it's a sort of sobering thought to think on one of those evenings there were twice as many people, more than twice as many people as in an average Sunday congregation at St. Richard's. I think of the amazing way that God grew rainbows from a little group meeting in the Deborah room at the back when we came. And used Heather particularly with a vision to grow that. Heather and Lizzie there together in that picture from a few years back. And the fact that we now have something like 200 families a week coming through our Rainbows groups. And as I said, I think of the lovely way in which I've grown a relationship with the school and the children at the school. And their little comments are so lovely that they've put in these cards. And the fact they're all different makes you a little less suspicious the teacher told them what to write. You know, when they all say the same, you kind of think, I wonder if you made that up. But just so lovely and encouraging and such a blessing to see how God has been at work in that school. And then finally, the staff team. I could say so many more, but the staff team. Our retreats have been very special times when we've been away and met with God together. And the worship has been wonderful, especially these last few years. And this was the restaurant that you've heard about in a sermon before, where our waitress took the picture, and that's when we prayed for her afterwards. Things like that have been wonderful times. God has been at work. God has been so good. But I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's wise words in Ecclesiastes 7:10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. You see, Paul goes on. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the good thing to hear, that God is in charge of this church. It's not Simon's church. It's not Fiona's church. It's not Steve and Fiona's church, although legally it might be. It's not the bishop's church. It's Jesus' church. It's God's church. And he has been with it ever since the start. I have simply built on the foundation that Ray laid, Ray built on the foundation that Henry laid, and so on going back to the start, and the vision that planted this church as a tin hut down on the corner of Park Road. And God will continue that work. And God is even now, as Fiona mentioned in the notices, calling someone we believe to be the next vicar of this church. We don't know who that is yet. And so we need to pray for that. We need to keep focused on that. Because the great thing is that this is not like, whoa, this is the best it's going to be. Because what Paul says is, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. More and more. God has much more for you. I'm going to St. Richard's because I believe God has more and more for St. Richard's. But I believe as I go that that the Lord has more and more for St. Paul's. Nearly said that the wrong way around. That would not be theologically correct. And so it's exciting. I honestly do feel that it's exciting that you have a new vicar who can come and take this church forward in new directions, in new ways, with new vision and new insight. I mean that. I'm not just saying it. So I'm praying for a new vicar. Because I tell you, it's pretty miserable if you've built up a church and then someone comes and the church falls apart. You don't want to see that happen. So I want to see this church go from strength to strength and be a better church, a more vibrant, thriving church than it was during my time here. 9 o'clock full to bursting. Because it is God's church. And at 10:30, the last verse of the reading I've chosen for that service is, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. And to go back to what Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 6, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So my prayers rest on his promise. He is the one who is faithful. He will do it. What we have to do, and this is all of you as well as me, what we have to do is make sure we keep close to him. Make sure we keep open to him. Make sure we keep listening to him. Make sure we keep obedient to him. Because he has a plan for this church, and he has a heart for this church, and he has a vision for this church. And what we have to do is make sure we're hearing so we align ourselves with that. And then we will go from strength to strength. We will blossom and flourish as individuals, and as a church, and in the community, and reach out to others. So, someone said the other day, do you know, it's a common English expression, that it's not a goodbye, it's a revoir. And being a pedant and a linguist, I thought to myself, so you don't want to say God be with you? Well, that's a bit tough, isn't it? You know, goodbye, that's what it means, God be with ye. And that's my prayer for St. Paul's, God be with you. It would be actually my prayer if I wasn't leaving, wouldn't it? That's what we want. That's what we need. I hope many of you are praying and will be praying. I'm going to give another plug for Tuesday night, a chance to pray for your new vicar. Do come if you can. If you can't come, can you, whatever you're doing at 8 o'clock, and of course it might be totally impossible, actually stop and pray then? Or make sure you pray between 8 and 9 at some point. But God is able. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It's his church. And I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for all that has been in this church since 1876. For all that has been in the past, for the foundations on which Fiona and I have built. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us these past 14 years. Thank you for your love, for your grace, for your faithfulness, for the bonds of love that have grown between us as family, but most of all for the lives that you have touched and changed and transformed during that time. For all you've taught us and all you've given to us. And Lord, you know how as human beings we're scared and uncertain about the future because we can't see it. But thank you that you can. And thank you that we can trust you, that if we put our hand in your hand and hold you close and hold you tight, like a father leading his child, you will lead us to the places you want us to go. We pray, Lord, that even now you'll be speaking to the person you want to be the next incumbent here at St. Paul's. We pray that you'll bless and guide Fiona and Steve as they act on our behalf, on the body choosing that new incumbent. And we pray for the others on that committee too, Lord. Give them open ears and speak clearly to them. But most of all, we pray for your kingdom to come in St. Paul's Church, for your kingdom to come in St. Paul's Parish, for your kingdom to come in our lives, because we're confident of this, that you who began a good work in us will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.